It's pretty amazing that we've got this many people on a business track. I actually think it's pretty amazing that Microsoft are doing a business track at all. We tend to find they cover devs. They do IT pro really well because they sell product. But actually doing the business side of things, getting value from the products, they don't tend to cover, right? Generally, doesn't get covered. So the fact we're actually doing something that's a business track is great in itself. And the fact there's actually this many people that are here is an indication that actually this is probably important to most people. I know it's important to me. The one thing I've got a confession to make, the fact this is business in the top corner, 3 years ago in 2009, I was on a stage at a best practices conference talking about test-driven development in SharePoint. So I am a geek tech, right? My background is development. I'm big into agile development, big into dev. And I sat on stage coding, live coding, unit tests, writing my web parts and doing code, because I thought that was the most important thing I could possibly do for the SharePoint community, to get them to write code well. Okay, that was the challenge. I believe that as developers, we do a bit of a half-assed job with the development. Okay, so it wasn't really very good. But what I found was, from being an agile development person, the biggest challenge I had was it didn't matter how well I wrote the code. If the requirements were wrong, if the things that you told me to do were wrong, it didn't matter how good I did it, it was the wrong thing to do. And what I found from doing agile development, they talk about Scrum, talk about agile, you've got this guy called the product owner. And from an agile team, we sat there and we thought the product owner was God, right? What they say goes. Agile development will push that concept, the product owner makes the decision on what goes in the product. You can do iterations, you can develop, and you can change your mind, but ultimately the product owner makes the decision. But the challenge we had from an agile point of view was, how did the product owner get his requirements? Luke Homan, who I do some work with, who does innovation games, he gave me a great quote. And basically said, the product owner goes up the mountain, he'll get a tablet, and he comes down the mountain with the 10 requirements. Okay? And when you ask the product owner, where did he get this tablet of requirements from, some bloke at the top of the mountain gave it to me. I have no idea. But those are the most important things to do. And if you change, he just goes back up the mountain and gets some requirements and comes back down again. And so as a developer, I was really looking, saying, how can I get into the other side? As a dev, I understand the whole development bit. I've done big deployments of SharePoint. I understand architecturally how it works. I've done all the farm deployments and stuff. But how can I make sure the business users know what's right? Once I'd made that shift, I thought, well, I made a conscious decision. I said, I'm not going to be a developer anymore. If I'm in Visual Studio, then something's gone wrong. If I'm running PowerShell scripts installed in tin, something's gone wrong. I really need to be adding value at the business side of things. And one of the challenges I had was going to the business side of things was understand, once I got into that, I thought I'm going to do less reading. You know, people are here doing the dev track or the IT pro track. There's lots of new stuff to learn. OAuth, REST, APIs, JavaScript, which is a repeat of what we used to know before. Lots of new stuff to learn. So I thought when I go to the business side, it's going to be much easier, right? Because it's simple business, just talk to people. I read more now than I ever did in my whole development lifecycle. I just don't read tech geek books. I'm reading psychology books. I'm reading about diversity of organizations. How do we do change? Culture. Much more complicated, but much more interesting. But I'm actually, my Kindle is chocker. I mean, it's about this big now. It's that full. It's actually heavier than when I bought it. The amount of books I've got on there, it weighs more than when I bought it. So I find I'm reading more now. So from a business point of view, I think that's the most interesting bit. It would be interesting to see the people here. When we did the little circle, if you look at the decks, there's a little pie chart at the bottom. I don't know if anyone's seen that, that says the makeup of the people in the organization. If you go on my SPC site in the conference of the sessions, and at the bottom, it actually said the majority of people here were IT pro. So if you regard yourself as an IT pro, put your hand up. If that's your primary function is IT pro. Okay. So all the people with their hands up, are you looking for a career change? Is that why you're here? Or is it just you want to know, how do I get my business to do it well? Right? You want to take some requirements back. Is it more around, we have a problem with them? How many people here would say they're developers? So less, because there's too much dev stuff to do. But again, is it a career change or are you the same place? No? It's just want to do something else. Let's get bored of that dev JavaScript. Let's do something else, much more interesting. So hopefully this will be a fun session. This is real world, right? This is me trying to change the way we do SharePoint. And I set an objective. What I want to do to some extent, and the fact I can stand here in front of 600-700 people, however many people are in here, and explain how I approach SharePoint projects. I'm hoping at the end of this that at least some of you will be inspired to go back to your organization and say, we need to do that. We need to be thinking about this. We need to be doing it differently. How many people here think they have SharePoint deployment licked, right? They understand exactly how it works. Organizationally, it's all good, right? We've done it, except Matt. So there's a challenge. You're at these sessions doing the business one because there's a challenge of doing it. So this session, I'm hoping to inspire you, give you some ideas. I'm not going to go into the deep dive on what I do from a technique point of view, but hopefully I give you a structure and a way of working that you can take back in your organization that will help you do SharePoint well. And the clicker worked. I call it the SharePoint Center of Excellence. There is a... And this is what I'm going to talk about today. There is a, some people, when they use Center of Excellence, they assume it means technical excellence, i.e., I'm a dev, this is where all our devs live, okay? So I'm redefining what it means. Because doing excellence in SharePoint is bigger than just developing, okay? It's a wider scope. So this is the name I give it. You can give it other names if you want, but this is the name I'm going to try and go under. And again, it's got SharePoint in there. If I click forward, did the clicker not work? So I work at 21 Apps. I've been an MVP since, 6 years. I can't do the math, 2006. I've been in SharePoint since 2001. So I first used SharePoint but as a developer, I was writing product and I needed some portal-type functionality. Somebody just wanted to do collaboration. I didn't want to write it, so we just installed 2001 and added some web parts. And then I basically got hooked, and the rate that I got as a contractor was much better than it was as a normal .NET developer, so that obviously influenced where I went and where I did my work. There was more work in the SharePoint space. And so I've lived SharePoint all the way through, so from 2001, 2003, 2007, 2010, 2013. Okay, so I'm big in the community. I do this. I was in Minneapolis last weekend, and then I flew back to the UK, and then I flew back to Vegas, so I try and push the community a bit if I possibly can. Twin Cities, so I've got to give it a name. Really good SharePoint Saturday. I do blog. I don't normally have this, right? If you're at the back, you won't notice. I end up doing this a lot now. So I am supporting Movember. So I am now growing my mustache for Movember. It's not a style statement. My wife thinks I look like a bugger. That's a very English saying, okay? So there's zero contact, right? I have to give a lot away for this, right? You know, I'm committed. I do tweet, okay? So I am a massive Twitter user. It's probably easier to connect to me on Twitter than it is on email. I don't mean I'm going to reply necessarily, but easier to connect to me. So I'm on there a lot. I do tweet. I'm big into the social space. Lots of sessions here around social enterprise and everything else, and that's driving what we do. I tend to find that organizations are a little bit behind the curve, but socially some people are in that space. So I do tweet. If you comment, or if you can even get Wi-Fi, and I couldn't when I was in this room earlier, if you can get a connection and you want to ask me a question, tweet. I will pick up the tweets afterwards using the hashtag. If #SPC214 means nothing to you, then ignore that. Twitter, you have no idea what I'm talking about. So the session, I'm going to break into four things. I've gone metro style. We had, no one else has probably explained, when Microsoft gave us the deck, the template, there were 56 slides explaining how to do PowerPoint templates for this. So that, yep. So my deck now, I'll go through all 56 at the end. It's about 286 slides I've got. No, not really. Break it into four ways. I'm going to look at the challenges. So this is my own personal experience. There's lots of other things, but I'll go through the challenges that I find we'll have with SharePoint projects to try and set some context. I will talk about what I think a SharePoint Center of Excellence is. This is an emergent design, and I'll go through that. So I think there's room to develop this idea. I want to get more people's experience to grow and develop it. There were some great sessions I saw yesterday. I think if anyone was at the Nationwide session where they were talking about Spot, a lot of things I talk about, they're doing. High-powered teams. So there were people doing this. It's not just me making it up and coming and talking to you. And there are other people doing it and getting real success with this. So it's definitely proved. And I think as an emergent design, we can develop this. So as a community, we should be pushing this and changing the way we work, right? So that's my job, is to promote it here. But I want to continue the conversation. That's why I went to Minneapolis, was to go and talk to Sarah about what they did at Best Buy. What are they doing? How are they doing things differently? I talk specifically about building a community, because there's a fundamental requirement if you're going to do SharePoint well, is you need to build community, and I'll talk about what that is and what we do to build a community. I won't go into all the depths, because there's lots about that, but I'll go through that in detail. And there's also ways of working. So there's particular ways I like to work that I think work well with this type of organization, this type of group of people. And I'll go through that. A lot of the stuff I talk there, I borrowed from my agile development days, right? The way I work, small teams, et cetera. So you'll probably see a lot of that come through in the sessions as I go through. I've got to moderate my water. That's all I've got. So if I start croaking up. So challenges first. I don't like reading slides, so I'll let you read that. People at the back, oh no, you've got other screens, you should be good. I could quote IDM, Gartner, and everything else, right? But the easiest way here is nobody put their hand up to say they think they've got SharePoint licked. They understand how to do it, right? So my consensus from that is there are some issues with the way you deploy SharePoint. You've accepted that you can improve. There are definite challenges to doing adoption, and we will look through that, and I'm gonna go through that in a little bit of detail now. Kinevin framework. So what I'm trying to do now when I talk about challenges, I'm trying to set the scene. I want you all to be on the same page that I'm on. Some people will have seen this before. Some people will look at it and think, what, we're going into a whole freaky other psychology world here, okay? Kinevin is actually a Welsh word. I live on the Welsh border. People think I'm Welsh. I'm semi-adopted. I'm as close as you'll get without being Welsh, probably. Kinevin, well, it's a Welsh word, but in English it would mean where you live, where you're from. But in Welsh, there's a much deeper meaning. It's basically, it's what your background is, where you come from, what your experiences are, what you've done before, where you've worked. And when we do SharePoint, when we're actually doing our rollout and our engagement, we're actually set that we need to know what people are bringing to the pie. What's your experience? Have you done social networking somewhere else before? Have you done SharePoint well before? Is your experience very file share oriented? Right? Are you used to agile development? So ways of working. So the people in your organization and the team you've got, it's fundamental to know where you are. Another thing here is I would say that I do not believe there are really any best practices with regards to SharePoint. Okay? Lots of people at this conference will have been talking about a best practice. Okay? How many SharePoint consultants have you spoke to that when you ask them a question, they say, it depends? Okay, so if the answer to the question is it depends, there cannot possibly be a best practice. Okay, there can only be a good practice. It depends on your requirements how we will do this. It's only the simplest things that we get to that we can say this is a best practice because it assumes I cannot improve on it. It can't be made better. Right? This is as good as it gets. And it tends to be very simplistic. Complicated is where we tend to be with SharePoint. But complicated tends to be in the space with regards to how do I deploy my farm? How do we write this code? Is it a sandbox solution? Do I do a farm solution? Can I do a new app store one? Do I use JavaScript? Should I use blah, blah, blah? From a dev perspective, from an infrastructure IT pro perspective, it's do we want to stretch farm? Are we allowed to do this? What services do we run? Do we share the services between the different farms? What web apps have we got? How big is our site collections? How many content databases? Right, so it's good practice, but it's all it depends. So there is guidance. The documentation on Microsoft sites now is like a million times better than it ever used to be. If you did anything with SharePoint in 2003, right, don't moan today, right? Don't come saying there's stuff missing because you just don't know what. I actually think from a business track, most of us live in the emergent place, right? This best practice I'm talking about today, isn't it? It's an emergent practice. I think running a SharePoint Center of Excellence and a way of working is the way we should do it, but it's emergent. So the way of working is developing and evolving. And generally within your organization, the way you use SharePoint will emerge. I'll cover things like governance. How many people here have got governance sorted? So there's one guy there. And is it a big document? Can you feel the weight? Is it like a nice big document? Yeah. And how many people understand that document? Minimal. I believe governance to some extent is a means to an end, right? So governance in that regard is emergent. So you put a SharePoint Center of Excellence, it will help you with the practical application of governance. It's not about writing a document, it's about getting the goals and objectives within your organization. And I think we live in that emergent space. If you want to read more about this, Dave Snowden's the guy who invented, there's a great 10-minute YouTube video that explains the Kinevin model. I don't talk about chaotic or the disorder bit, but that just helps me frame when I'm having a conversation with anyone that actually it's quite difficult. Right? When you're trying to do social in your organization, it's quite difficult to understand what it means, how it works, and we need to try things. The actual way we're going to use this is going to emerge as our users develop, etc. So it just helps me frame the conversation when I go in and talk to people. I need to go right backwards. How many people have a vision for their SharePoint deployment? Wow. These are typical ones I've seen. So that's good. There's a few. Okay, you've got a view of where you want to be. That's great because you've now got something to hang your hat on and say, at some point in the future, we want to be here. If you don't have a vision, so 90% of the rest of people are just doing SharePoint just because, right? You know, how do you know when you've succeeded? When have we finished? What's success look like? How many people are just doing a technology upgrade? Generally, the only reason you do an upgrade to 2010 was because there's a policy that says we can't use a product that Microsoft no longer support. We're on 2003, therefore we must upgrade to 2010. Right? So your measure of success can only ever be we're now on 2010. Tick, done. IT pro project done. Don't expect in that project then to do any cultural organizational change. Right? Because nobody's going to budget it. Nobody's going to go in and do the workshops. No one's going to buy into organizational change because you're just doing a technology upgrade. In 2013, you can upgrade and leave it looking exactly like it did in 2010. Right, okay, so great. Don't use any of the new features because that's not what you're doing in a technology upgrade. We're all business users, right? So how many people actually really get involved at the right point of your project? SharePoint, again, run by IT pros upstairs, right? They run it. Well, it's an infrastructure thing. It's really important. We need some tin and we need memory and blah. That's the easy stuff, right? Putting tin in and installing's easy. It'll get really easy in a few years' time because you just go and write the check, sign up, Microsoft SharePoint Online, done. Right? I don't know what those guys are going to do in a few years. No idea. Right. How many people do it because they want to improve collaboration? Okay. So is that your vision, to improve collaboration? It's sort of an idealistic view. We want to just do collaboration better. It's a collaboration platform. Let's improve. We need a social enterprise. It's the big thing now, right? Everyone's talking about social. There's lots of sessions here. Microsoft bought this company. I don't know the name of a company that does some socially type stuff. Yammer, I think it is, but I wasn't going to say it. Social enterprise. But what does it mean to be a social enterprise? What's success look like? What does it mean to change where you are? And the problem with the vision is we never define this. We never put enough time into understanding where it is we want to get to. This comes from Paul Comsey, a guy from Australia who I tend to do a lot of conversations with. But this actually comes from The Simpsons. Okay? So they awarded Montgomery, so Homer Simpson, basically he was going to sue, because he works at a nuclear power plant, he was going to sue them because he was going to get cancer, and they said, how do we get away with that? So we'll give him an award, just a made-up award. And it was the Montgomery Burns Award for excellent, outstanding achievement for excellence, or some random statement. Okay? But what it works really well is, if you've got a vision, take your vision, so improve collaboration. If it makes sense, in this regard, the Montgomery Burns Award for Outstanding Achievement for Improved Collaboration sounds quite sensible. It's tosh, right? You can't, it's just a platitude. It's completely irrelevant. You'll never measure it. You'll never get there. It's just a platitude. You won't get there. Okay, so if it fits, it's a great test. Sit in the boardroom. We're going to do the Montgomery Burns Award for Outstanding Achievement for our vision. If that makes sense, you need to spend more time on your vision. You're never going to measure it. It's just a platitude. What does improve mean? Excellence in collaboration. How are we going to collaborate better? Just doesn't mean anything, right? So as business people, we need to spend some time thinking about what the vision is. You will see excellence in collaboration somewhere else. I've got a book, I think, to give away if somebody spots that, but hey. This is one technique I use a lot. So this is a bit of theory up front before I start talking about what a COE, a center of excellence, is. This is one technique that I use that really helps me align what I do in SharePoint to the organizational's goals. Your organization will have a vision, right? At the high level, at the C level, they will have written down something. They will have got high-end consultants in to give them a well-defined vision and corporate culture of where you want to go. So everything you do fundamentally from a SharePoint point of view should align. Because if it doesn't align to your corporate goals, then you probably shouldn't be doing it. Or you need to reevaluate your corporate goals. Right? But everything you do from our level, we're not going to change corporate goals necessarily at this level, but we should align. And if we align, we can justify it because we're supporting the organizational goal. If we want to get budget and we support the organizational goal, it helps support what we're doing. So what are we trying to do? So you could start with, I want to install SharePoint. Okay? So you start with where you are, and it could be at any level. We want to install SharePoint. I'm going to deny SharePoint Designer. We're not having SharePoint Designer on. It's a real pain. I'm going to turn off SharePoint Designer. We need to do Record Center, right? So it could be quite low level is what you're trying to do. But all I ask is you ask two questions. So to the right, why? Okay, so why do you want to do SharePoint? And then when you get to that next statement, you ask the same again, why? Ultimately, when you go to the left, if you keep asking why, it should get to your organizational goal. Okay, it should align to the vision of the organization. And if you think you come back the other way, so how? If I start organizational goal, how are we going to achieve this organizational goal? Oh, because we're going to do this collaborative project. How are we going to do that? Well, one of the things we're going to do is install SharePoint. Okay, how are we going to install SharePoint? What features are we going to do? So ultimately, you can go from corporate goal, how, down to a decision around whether you're allowed to do SharePoint Designer or not, right? And when you go, we're not allowed to do SharePoint Designer because it does that, ultimately goes back up to corporate goal. You should be able to align everything you do from a what perspective back to the goal. Organizational goal, solution you put in. So it's called the Capitola pathway. Mike Capitola is a guy just back of a napkin. But as a technique, it works really well, right from feature function, product, the product owner. The question I go back to, when he sits there with his tablet of stone saying, thou shalt deliver this functionality, why? So if he can then ask this question, why, and it aligns back to the corporate goals, he can justify and validate the reason that he wants that feature to be in the product, developed, custom configuration, whatever it might be. If he can't do that, then maybe he shouldn't be doing it. Very simple, very easy way to do it. It was actually used in a galaxy far, far away, so this is not new, okay? So we can see here why they built the Death Star. So we're going to build a Death Star. Why? Because I need to develop the ultimate weapon. Why? Because I need to destroy rebel scum. Why? Permit the Empire to rule unstopped, provide well-being for the Sith. Ultimately, the Capitola pathway will always take you back to well-being. Because when you go beyond your corporate goals and responsibilities, it's about the well-being of people. So in a galaxy far, far away, we understand now very simply why they built the Death Star. Very simple to see, very easy to align it back forward. And then we can work out what you do. So how are we going to destroy rebel scum? Because we're going to develop the ultimate weapon. So what are we going to do? We're going to build a Death Star. So it's not new, right? This has been used before. Everything I talk about now is a rehash. Not a rehash, it's a reuse, a reevaluation of what's been done before. If anyone was in the social session that was in this room earlier on today, a lot of the stuff the guy was talking to was done in the 1970s. The theory and the research was done in the 70s, the 80s. A lot of the academic rigor that goes into what we do has been done before. It's only now that the technology is supporting it. It's enabling us to do it. So it was a bit of ahead of our time. So what we do is not always new. End-to-end view, how does SharePoint fit into our strategy? Validation of what we're doing to make sure that we're doing the right thing. But it's quick, really easy. Why? I can present it, demonstrate it very, very simply. Every time I talk to anyone doing SharePoint, you want a site collection, why? How does that fit? Organizational goal for SharePoint, et cetera, et cetera. Very easy to do. You know, I talked about no best practices. So I lied. I do believe there is one best practice. We, as business users, we've got to get to this idea of SharePoint, of a shared understanding, okay? So this comes from Jeff Conklin, who does dialogue mapping. If anyone, it's just go look on the internet. It's a great technique for dealing with wicked problems. But effectively, he says the holy grail for effective collaboration is creating a shared understanding. Now, we're deploying a collaboration platform, but we seem to fail to be able to collaborate on the reason that we want a collaboration platform, and it becomes a bit of a paradox, okay? Shared understanding is key, so everyone knows they're going in the same direction. Good technique, go and look it up. I'm not going to go into detail. That could be a whole day, 2 days on that particular area. What I wanted to really function, I'm just going to look at the amount of time I've got, we're good. I want to focus on the center of excellence, so what it is. So that's a bit of background, a bit of academic, where you are, and understanding you've got vision, know where you're going. I'm going to talk about what a center of excellence is and what I think it should be. You can challenge me. You can say, no, it's not like that. Yeah, they should do this. That's great. Let's have a conversation and develop and emerge how it should work for real, the things we should do. This is my first go based on real-world experience. So we are doing this. Eating the dog food, if you want to use Microsoft's terms. We are doing this for real. My key statement here is that the SharePoint Center of Excellence must be a single point of contact for everything to do with SharePoint. It doesn't mean they have to do everything, but they need understanding. We talked about shared understanding. Anything we do with the platform, you need to build up that tacit knowledge. You need those people to understand what's going on implicitly in their heads. It's no good having loads of Word documents in a SharePoint site because no one will read them. Oh, but we documented what we were doing with the content databases, and it's in there over there in that governance policy. Yeah, but no one understood it. It's not implicit, so when you're making decisions, you need to have that knowledge. So everything that anyone does with SharePoint needs to come through this team. Okay, they need to be aware of it and have understanding of what's going on, whether it be about information architecture, whether it be about governance, whether it be about custom development, whether it be about policy for SharePoint design, or whatever it might be, it should come through this team so that they've got a holistic view of what you're doing in the organization and how it fits. Without this, you don't get shared understanding. How many people do the intranet project separate from the collaboration project? And then find it doesn't join back up again at the end. What do you mean you haven't used those terms? We wanted to use the term store for this. How come you've got a different set of terms for yours? Why is the navigation now different? Can't I have a single search? What? Hey, how does that not work? Because you're not joining up. Projects have got their goals and objectives, they achieve it, but they're not joined up, so suddenly you get disjointed within the organization. Bringing that together is key. I'm big on governance. I talk about governance a lot, but governance is a means to an end. It's not the goal, right? The goal is not to write a governance plan or a governance document. It shouldn't be a task on your project plan that says, write governance document, and you go, tick, it's finished. Your governance document should be living, breathing way of working that emerges and develops as you as an organization develop, that should change. So you might have some things documented. You will have some policy that makes it easier for people to understand and read it, but you need to emerge that. Also, there's no point in writing lots of governance around things that you don't use. You're not going to write governance policy in InfoPath if you made a decision we're not doing it, right? The thing is, we're not using it. Done, right? I don't need to go into depth and detail. So this is my take on a center of excellence. So there's one is you need to brand it. Now, I think it's to some extent, this is it's got the word SharePoint in there. Maybe I shouldn't. I really like the stuff. So if anybody did the nationwide thing where they used Spot was their brand for their team and the way they were working, that works really well for me because it's not SharePoint specific. It's just a meaningless word, but you market and brand it so then people put association on that brand. Okay, so you need to build up what that means. But I like to do a vision. So my vision from a COE's perspective, and again, we can evolve this as need be, but this has stood the test of time for about 2 years without change. Focus on their business goals. I want, as a COE, to allow the business to focus on business goals and not get tied up in SharePoint stuff. Right? Try and do what you're supposed to be doing as a business. Don't worry about business. Don't worry about the SharePointy thing. We will help you and support you. We will help you create solutions that exploit SharePoint. You don't need to know SharePoint. We understand what your goals are, understand what you're trying to do as a business. We will support you in building the solutions that help you do your business thing. Focus on the business objective. Focus on your goals. We'll support you and make sure that works. Build knowledge and experience. One thing I found is actually lots of organizations, the actual base level of experience or requirement is very low, right? So just basic document libraries, simple lists for tasks. They're not generally as a whole organization, you're not trying to you're not doing massively complex, whizzy things that you're being demoed with. SMS messages going to your phone that comes down here, that goes to Azure and over there and up there, and it comes and it's auto here. No, most of them I just want to upload my documents and share them, right? Most are doing basic stuff, right? So just a core requirement of the COE is to understand your organization and to raise the level a little bit. That's hard to raise the base level of your organization, to change them slightly. If you think when email was first introduced, that would have been the same process of people having to get used to email becoming the norm and way of working. What we're looking to do with SharePoint is it become the norm, the social norm. When you do social enterprise, the way of using social becomes the norm within the organization. So you're trying to raise the bar slightly. Confidence and support, i.e. single point of contact, any problem, any issue, any challenge, how do I do stuff, come to us. We might not necessarily be able to answer the question, but we will know a man who can. We will help you and hold your hand while we solve that issue, and I'll talk about the people that go in the team to make this work. But I like to have a vision. It helps me when I'm running the COE to make sure what I do aligns to this vision. Makes it easier for me to go, why am I doing this? Because it helps build confidence and support. Why? Because it supports organizational goal, blah, blah, blah. Typical team, I did have other slides. The key word in there, which you won't see here, is diversity. So I am reading lots of books on diversity and what it means, and there's academic, if you really want to get into that reason why diversity works, why different people in the organization works, but you need a mix of people. It's no good having lots of the same type of people in your team because you won't discover new things, you won't innovate. Right, things won't change. You'll have a perceived view of the world, and everything you do will be biased to that view of the world. If you bring diverse people together, your view and your solutions will be much better, much more innovative. people will learn from other people, and the sum of the parts is greater. It's greater than the sum of the parts is what I'm trying to say. I do always challenge in there, technical authority. I need somebody in the team who just gets the tech, right, to a deep level. What you don't want to do is the center of excellence go in a meeting with the IT pro and to be trumped, because they will not have confidence in you as a COE. Right? They will have, if they can trump you really easy in a meeting in front of a senior exec and they challenge you and you can't answer or you can't justify why you've made a decision, you will get trumped and then you'll lose confidence. Therefore, and then they'll go back to the old traditional IT pro. You need somebody in your team that really, you know, high-end, knows what they're doing, completely understands architecture, how it works. Those people, you need somebody like that in your team. Subject matter experts, they're the ones who you traditionally think of. They're the guys probably that used to work in the department who was known as the SharePoint guy. He understands list libraries. He sort of grok SharePoint. He understands how it works. He'll come and work in the team because he's been doing it anyway. But now it validates him now doing it, and he can focus 100% on using SharePoint and supporting the organization, not just the team he used to work in. Okay? You will get a diverse mix in here of subject matter experts. Some will be experts in the BI stack. If you're doing lots of BI, you want some BI people in there. If you're doing InfoPath, you'll want an InfoPath person in the team that understands InfoPath, what you should and shouldn't do, how to work. So who is your subject matter experts depends on what you're doing in your organization. So who makes up that? It depends. Lots of it is just basic SharePoint out of the box. How do I, because people are, like we said, the bar's quite low for most people. They really aren't interested in SharePoint. I want to come to work and do my job. I really don't want to have to learn this whole thing that you went to a conference in Vegas for. What? Like, party? What? Why would I do that? Right? I just want to do the basic stuff. So the subject matter experts are fairly easy to fill, right? You can either get contract resource, but you can fill it because people just, they can associate right on a CV, yes, I've done SharePoint designer, blah, 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 I can do whatever it might be. The bit you find more difficult is the change agents. These are the people that actually get how you do the organizational change. They may be good at marketing because you need to sell what you do as a service, sell your services. You've got to do internal marketing. The other one is they might be people that are really good at building community. SharePoint COE, and I'll talk about it in a bit, has to develop community, so they may be really good in that space. The other one is they may just be good organizers, right? Lots of people in this side here aren't very good. You may have a manager in there that just organizes people well, right? But what I would be is, from a technical expert point of view, is when you get the team, don't get trapped in the traditional project management task allocation project Gantt chart, right? They need to be an empowered team. Right, they need authority to go and do things. If I need to go and sit with a particular area of the business for 3 days solidly just to get them over the hump, I need to be able to do that. I don't want a project manager sitting there going, but you're only allowed to spend 2 hours on that task and we've got other people, right? I, as a team, as a center of excellence team, need the authority and autonomy to go and sit with the business and put the effort in where I see it's appropriate, because it won't fit necessarily. And it may not be the big ROI one. It's just fundamentally, if we can get this over the hump here, I can see significant benefits. So you need autonomy. They need authority to do it. So where does it live? This is the challenge. Okay? And moving where it lives has a massive impact, as I have found out, on how effective a center of excellence is. If you can, and again, this was the same in the session we talked about earlier about social enterprise, if you can get senior stakeholder buy-in for this, then you're on a winner. If you can't, you will really struggle. If you don't get the exec buy-in for this, you'll struggle. I do tend to align the COE as a bit like a skunkworks project. So if people don't know what that is, it was effectively an empowered team that went out. They didn't have to do any of the normal process. They did it in secret, right? So that was what they did, and they tried to innovate and do things differently. You're not doing the secret squirrel thing, right? We don't have to hide what we're doing. We want to be completely open. But I don't actually want to fit in corporate structure, traditional ways of working, because I should be able to go out to every level of the business, up and down, across, because you're trying to change culturally the way the organization works. So as a team, I need that authority and autonomy to be able to go anywhere. Talk to HR, sit in HR for a while, go into IT, go to the exec level, work at the senior exec level and make sure they can do their minutes easier, understand how I get it on an iPad. But I need to spend time with the people understanding what we do and how we use it, which is why if they end up sitting in a traditional organization, so you might sit in a support organization, your metrics and KPIs that your managers will expect from you will be very focused on what they're measured on, which will be SLAs, time to complete fixes. So your work suddenly gets moved towards what they require you to do, not what you actually should be doing. So you fundamentally need to work out where you sit in the organization so you can be autonomous, right? If you start doing, so the one we're working on at the moment, the organization changed. We lost our senior sponsor because he moved to a different part of the organization. We got moved into a development area, because that's just organizational research. We end up in a development area. They run projects. I don't do projects in a COE, but my management structure said all our reporting up is based on projects, tasks, Gantt charts, percentage complete, when are you going to finish? So they couldn't get what we did, and we probably spent 4 months or more, Steve will contest to this, trying to explain what it was we did, because they just didn't get it. It didn't align to their goals and objectives. And we wasted so much time that we could have been doing really effective stuff just trying to justify what we were doing in the management structure. So getting senior buy-in to this is key. Any of this cultural change is key. So if your job is just to do a tech upgrade, don't try and do this. If the senior execs buy into, we spent millions of dollars on SharePoint. We've invested loads of money. We've got the kit. We've got the licenses. We really want to get value from this. Get them to invest in the COE. Get them to justify it. Put some money on the table. Pay for you. Buy the resources. Get you in and get you to change. Yeah? The COE will also be the people that work with external suppliers. And the external suppliers will have a much better view of the world because they'll have competent, informed, empowered users to make decisions. They won't have to go through layers of structure. It'll be a much more effective way of getting things done and changing things. The COE will also work internally with IT and make sure everything's lined up, but they're the people who grok SharePoint and promote it. So you need to brand what you do. You need to sell it. These are a few slides from a brochure we did explaining, one, what is SharePoint, blah, high level, blah, 101, because people don't care. They don't come to SharePoint conferences. They don't, it's just I go to work, right? It's like email, what's this SharePoint thing? What do we do? What's our offering? What can we do for you? You need to promote and market this, okay? You need to sell what you do as a center of excellence to the business so they come to you and go, can you help me, yeah? Big sales job, really important that you do this. Keep to do that. How many people here have automated site collection provisioning? Okay. How's that working for you? Good. And everything they do in that site collection from that point on, everyone understands it's all good, yeah? There's no governance detail at the end, and you've got a lot of rubbish gets put in there, right? So my take is, all you're doing by doing automated, I refuse to do this. Microsoft Consulting Services will come in, they will demand that's the first thing they do. Yes, you need to get automated site creation done because that's what we do in Microsoft. Microsoft as an organization is slightly more mature from a technology use perspective. They understand it, right? They understand how it works. They sort of got why they want to create a site collection. Most organizations I work with don't really understand what you're doing with SharePoint, how it works. But what you do get is when somebody requests one, it's a hook. It's like a sales lead. Because they've made the decision actively to say, I want to do something different. The way I'm working today isn't working for me, and I want to do something different, and somebody has told me or I've heard about this SharePoint thing that will help me collaborate. So they request a site collection because that's your routine. At that point, that's your one objective, one key point there before they do anything else to go and have a conversation with them to understand what are they doing. What do they want to do? How do they want to do it? How can I support you? This is what we can do. This is our policies. I can create your site collection. This is how we use it. Because you as a center of excellence fundamentally understand how the organization's using it. You understand why your organization's doing SharePoint so you can stop them going off in a weird direction. But also you get to wind them up like a little toy and get them going in the right direction. Now they might divert slightly, but when they start day one, they're heading off down the corridor towards there. That's the goal, to reach that lectern at the back, but you wind them up and send them that direction day one. They're not going off down here under the chairs, over there, back behind the stage. So you get to align them. You get to give them the information. You get to give them the site owner's pack. You have a conversation with them. You also build a relationship with that person. So you understand how many people in the team, what are they doing, how they're using it. So you build a relationship. They're your customer. So I disagree with automatic site creation. Now, I might write some code for me as a COE to click a button in it to create it, but I want to click that button, right? I want to choose what template they're doing. I want to choose the managed path. Is it a project or is it a business site? Oh, we have a different IA for that. I use projects, live here under this managed path because we have a different life cycle. They're never going to think of that, but you as a SharePoint Center of Excellence have understood how you're going to manage your IA and you understand the managed path and where it should live. Is it a community site? Well, we've got a template for community sites. I can come and do a workshop. We use that. Here's a template. You give them the right template. You give them the training. You show them how to use it. They're off. They're gone. Okay? But they're doing it not just a standard team site with a little picture in the thing. They write down. They've still got the little table that's a real pain to delete. Yeah, so lots have that, right? How many sites do you go to with that little table with what, you know, with a click, right? They can't work out because you delete and it doesn't delete and you have to go, yeah. Opportunity to engage. This is key. Site collection creation, that's your one key point to get involved. The other one I like to do, and then, so, I cut your head off, Dave. You're on stage. Oh, look at that. Another workshop, anyway. The one thing I like to do is, there's two ways of doing it. There's general support. So how do I use SharePoint, running my clinics, user guides, discussion forums, brown bag sessions, et cetera. But what I tend to find is when people have started using SharePoint for a small period of time, they've got their slide collection, they've got into it, they actually realize that there's a business problem they want to solve. There is a real challenge, actually something that's really awkward. Either SharePoint doesn't do it well enough for me, or I've got a real challenge to solve this business problem that's a real pain. And what I like to do from a CEO point of view is we effectively run mini projects, so mini engagement workshops. Our job is to leverage out of the box, right? Our job is not to go and write custom code if we can help it. The platform's huge, right? The platform does lots of things. Let's make use of it where we can. But I like to run engagement workshops where I can go and find out and discover what your challenges are, and then I can build the solution for you that achieves those challenges, and I can measure the success and the benefit of that, which we can report to senior execs to demonstrate, look, we're improving the way we work, look how much we saved, blah. The way I do this is using effectively collaborative tools. I use GameStorm in Innovation Games, right? I don't talk about technology at all. I tend to use post-it notes and whiteboards. Okay, so I tend to play games with people. Not with people, but that's how I tend to discover things. Has anybody here used innovation games or game storming techniques? Well, quite a few. Okay. All of the rest of you are going to have to learn this. Okay? The expectation we're going to raise the bar. If you want to do COE well, you will need to learn these techniques. What you don't want to do is go into a meeting and ask them what do they want. Because invariably they won't know what they want. It's no good asking a user what they want when they really have no idea. Right? There's lots of things they don't know they don't know. Right? So we need ways of discovering the stuff they don't know they don't know. The other benefit we don't get is people's view of what's wrong is different. Even within a team, you might have the same words that you use. We have a problem collaborating, but your view of collaboration is actually different. My view of collaboration was actually I want to find the right person. Your view of collaboration is I've got to work on a document, but we use the word collaboration. The solution is different, so we need to get shared understanding, the best practice I talked about before. How do we get everyone on the same page? How do we bring you all together so you're talking the same language, you understand what the solution is? So I play three games. I can do this in 3 hours. Okay? And I do it with every team I go to. I can do this in 3 hours. From an initial document that gives me a basic overview of what their number of people, what their basic challenge is, what area of the business they work in, what they think they want to do. So I get a bit of a background on it. But I spend 3 hour workshop with them and I can achieve a shared understanding goal of where you're going. And I do it this way. The first game I run is Speedboat. How many times have you been in a meeting where you've asked people to tell me all of the rubbish, horrible, boring things that don't work? Right? Tell me everything that's rubbish about your environment today. Tell me everything is rubbish. And them to come out of the meeting happy and enthusiastic. How many times do you do that meeting where there's actually one guy who's the most vocal and his problems are the problems that then get put forward, even though they're probably not the most important things to solve? It's just the fact that in the meeting, he dominates and other people sit in the background. So using innovation game or game storming techniques, collaborative play, you can actually make it more egalitarian. Everyone is at the same level. Doesn't matter whether you're a boss or not, you get the same opportunity. You're in a game now, there are rules. You can't dominate the meeting because there's rules, we're playing a game. It worked. Very simple technique. All you do, whiteboard, you draw a picture of a boat. That's your department, business area, whatever it may be. If everything was working wonderfully, you'd be zooming across the ocean towards your goal, the palm tree on the desert island. Everything is growing well. But there are probably things that are slowing you down, things that are a bit of a pain, things that don't work quite well. The approval for documents is a bit, email it, and then I've got to merge all the changes, whatever it might be. They're anchors. So you get them to draw anchors to slow the boat down. What are the things that are slowing your boat down? So they write it on a post-it note, stick it on the wall, and explain to everyone else in the group what their problem is. So they put their anchors up. Everyone else comes up. They get the same go, put their anchors up on the wall. They'll start naturally sorting them because they'll do some card sorting automatically for you because they're, oh, that was about training. That's the same as yours. And they'll put it next to the other one. Oh, that's about document approval. I'm going to put that because that's like your document approval. And they put it together. They start sorting it. The other one you ask them to do is say, up the top, if it's right at the top of the sea, so it's quite high up, that's not that important. It's a pain, but it's not really the most important thing to do. The things right down the bottom, They're the real pain points. So straight away, in a matter of 45 minutes, you've got your team to define all of their pain points, specifically around what they're doing on the collaboration bit. They've got a shared understanding of what the challenges are for the whole department, for the whole group, for the whole team. They prioritized about which is causing the most pain, and they've also sorted them into some common areas. 45 minutes, done, right? You understand where you are, everyone else understands where you are, you take a picture, you stick it on the site, they're happy, right? Then we play the second game. So I say, that was all where we are today. Let's go forward 6 months. What do you want success to be like? What does success look like, right? Let's play cover story. The idea is very simple, is, and again, these are online. You can find these online. You search for these GameStorm and Innovation Games, you'll find these. So cover story. I say, in 6 months from today, say you're in a quality department, and I say I'm from Quality Monthly, and I come around to interview you to write an article on how well you've done this collaboration thing. What's the big headline? What's the cover story? What's the one big statement that just that says what you've done, what you've achieved? Big headlines are the things that support it, right? So they support an element. So the one might be, you know, approval process, you know, no non-conformances. You go through and you, based on what their view of the world should be, you get them to put the post-it notes up here. The one I really like is the quotes. Because you say, if somebody was going to comment on this, a senior exec, it might be the auditor, someone else is going to comment on that, what would they say and who would say it? Because what it helps you do is then drive the solution, because you're trying to engender a way of working and something to get feedback. Images, am I going to get an award for this? Am I going to go on stage and present at a SharePoint conference, a customer case study? Maybe that's a good image. There might be a picture of an award, a badge, whatever it might be. Images are quite hard sometimes, but it's good to put images on there. The sidebar is really good. Sidebar is where you start to define what your metrics are. What are my KPIs? How do I measure success? And it could be simple, and we'll talk about success metrics, but that's where you're really starting, and I'll talk about ROI in a minute. But that's where you start to measure, where are we going? How do we measure success? How do we demonstrate in a period of time how we're doing? The second game I play is different. So this is building solutions. But what I do, I sometimes play remember the future. Sometimes I just go into solution mode. But up to this point, in the three-hour meeting, I've not talked about SharePoint, features, functions, solutions, metadata, anything to do with product. I'm just talking about business need, goals and objectives. Once I've got that, I've got where you are today, unhappy place, where you want to be in the future, 6 months from now, happy place. How do we get from there to there? What do we need to change in order to get from here to here? That allows me then, when I build the solution, to pick the things that are the most awkward, the difficult things down here, that are going to give you the most success over here. And we solve those problems. We don't boil the ocean. I'm not going to do everything. Remember, people have first introduction to SharePoint, they're going in, it's basic. It might be I just do some stuff with document sets, help you manage your list and libraries. I might do some configuration of lists. We might put some web parts. I might do a people search that we integrate so you can see your team. It might just be set up a community site and configure it and support me. What you do have, though, with your metrics is, how do I measure where I am today? So there might be some surveys you do, some qualitative measures, to where I am in the future. But that, from here to here, helps you build a solution that solves their business need without talking tech until this point. But you can get a very good idea of where you want to get to within 3 hours. Where I am, where I want to get to, and what my solution might look like. Your job as a COE then is to go and build that solution, present it to them, write up a case study at the end of the 3 months, right? So produce, this is where I talked about the change agents with marketing, okay? You need to sell this. If you don't sell success, nobody will know what you did. You're a bit of a skunkworks organization. You're not reporting in through the traditional lines, right? You're not producing Gantt charts. You've excluded yourself from traditional management structure, okay? So you need to sell success. One or two page flyers, yeah, one page of a PowerPoint presentation, but enough to go to the exec level and say, aren't we wonderful? Look what we've done. If you can put money on there, that's great, right? But we talk about KPIs. The more of these you get, the easier it is then to do your next one, because somebody else goes along and says, I want to do this engagement thing. Oh, here's some examples of what we've done before. Oh, no, we need one of those. So what you'll also find if you work in one organization is generally your pain points and your challenges are consistent, because everyone's got the same infrastructure. Everyone's got the same management structure, the same way of working. So if you solve it well for one part of the organization, actually it'll repeat. So you can offer the same type of solutions, you can engage people, but because they did the workshop, it's their solution. I bought into it, I designed it, I put the post-it note on there. Look, there's the report that shows me sticking a post-it note on there. It's mine, but it's very familiar to everyone else, right? As a center of excellence, you know what everyone else is doing on SharePoint. Therefore, you know what works and what doesn't work. You understand how it works, so you can promote and develop that. But you need to promote success. So this one is a slide I borrowed from, I was going to steal, but borrowed from Sarah Haas. So she does this at Twin Cities. But when you're doing your measures, what are you measuring? Depends on your organization. Is it quantitative? Are you trying to increase sales, increase money, reduce overhead? Is it time, right? So we need to make sure we do this quicker. Understand what you're trying to do as an organization. This will help you line back up to your organization. Is it just that we want to be emotional? We just want people to be happier, a nicer place to work. Maybe we want to get an award for being, you know, best employer. We've got a challenge about staff retention that we want to improve. So if we can improve employee morale, that helps solve staff retention, which has a cost benefit because the cost of employing staff, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So this is a great way for you to understand where your metrics might go in. Is it quantitative or qualitative? Not everything is money, time. Some things are about doing things better. Some things might be about just we want to be a more social enterprise because we've got millennials coming through and they're used to Facebook and Twitter, and we really need to, we want to get those, that new blood in, and we need to give them something. So there might be some measures around that. This is what I don't believe a SharePoint Center of Excellence should do. So I differ slightly from the guys who did the spot team at Nationwide before, because they actually coded solutions. But I think if you think about what you've got to do as a COE team, if you're going to get involved in writing code and developing solutions, your team's going to have to be big, right? There's more than enough work to do doing the cultural change, helping people change the way they work moving forward. What you should do is engage with delivery teams. But you're a consultant. The Center of Excellence fully understands. You understand the way we're using SharePoint, what the governance policies are, et cetera. So you're an uber consultant to that delivery team. That development team might be an external supplier. It might be an internal development team. But you can provide them with full knowledge about what we've done, what you can deploy, what you can't deploy, how we use the managed metadata service, whether we've got search turned on, what the solution should look like. The tablet of stone, you've gone through that with them. You've understood what the requirements are and why, and you've done the Capitola pathway. We've mapped that back to organizational goal. We've got measured return on success. So now my project that my dev team has to do should be awesome. It's very well defined. We understand what our requirements are. We understand the governance, so there's no issues with IT pro, dev doing what they need to do. We can deliver solutions very focused and add value. This is key. This is a bit I'm not going to talk about in great detail, but the idea of building community is fundamental. Because as a COE, you can't change everyone. Okay, I'm still green, so we're good. I can't actually change the whole organization. It would be impossible. If we've got, even if you had an organization of 600-700 people and you're all doing your day job, if there was only two or three of us, I couldn't possibly change the way everyone works. I need to build community of people to do that change, right? To help evangelize what we talk from a COE with support. So the COE need to grow this community. You need to run events. Make people feel special. Make them want to be part of the community. The one and the analogy I've got now is, to some extent, if I'm a community member, I call it a SharePoint champion, it should be a little bit like being an MVP. Okay? I don't get to go and see Bill Gates. They did that, they stopped that way before I got an MVP, right? But effectively, I get some benefit from doing that, right? So they give me some love. I get to see SharePoint before anyone else does, right? I get to feedback. Whether they listen to me is another thing, but I get to feedback. I get to feel heard. I get to sit at a party and talk to Jeff Tepper, right? So I get some benefits from being an MVP, but I have to put a lot of time in and commitment to it. If you're going to develop your champions community, do the same thing. Give them something. Give them some value. Allow them to run internal conferences. You know, give them early access. If you're going to look at 2013, get them involved in the 2013 pilot. Give them something for their time as a champion, because they will support you, they will feel loved, and they'll do the grunt work. They'll do the change. Yeah? So you need to support your community and grow it. Get feedback. So run your events. Understand what's going on. Get feedback from people. My video now I'm going to show, this is, I'm going to have to switch out now and do this. I don't know if I can put this on. Can I do that? Can you see that?
And I need you to repeat after me. I love SharePoint.
Louder, come on, it's not good enough.
I love SharePoint.
I love the three.
I love SharePoint.
One, two, three.
I love SharePoint.
One more time, that was really good. 1, 2, 3.
I love SharePoint!
Right, so remain standing. If, when you go back to your office, you're going to get everyone in your department to stand up every morning and say, I love SharePoint. If not, sit down.
So we make them feel loved. But that was, but the idea about building community is not that good. What I was trying to get across, that was a champion session that we ran. So there were people from all over the organization that came together. The business has to buy into that. That's a big investment for an organization to pay for people to come to one place to do a full day on talking SharePoint. So you need stakeholder sponsorship to make that run. But it was about the fact that if you are a champion, yeah, it's not just about going, I love SharePoint. You need to go and help people and give them some value, right? Okay, so that was, you need to do more for them. There's some great stuff out there. So we've got Kathy Sierra, and I'm going to see if I can move that bar out of the way. Back. I can't move the bar. Never mind. We'll leave it there. Building community. This is a great blog. Unfortunately, she stopped doing it about 2 years ago, and if you read the blog, you'll find out why. But there's some great information on there. The more you invest in your community, the more you grow your community of champions, the less it will cost you to do the organizational change. There is a real no measurable return on investment for doing this. So the more you build your community, the more you invest in your champions community, the better return on investment you'll get. You'll get quicker cultural change, quicker adoption. This is a good one. This is when you're trying to roll out SharePoint. How quickly can you get people past the this sucks threshold? Right? Because you know when you first roll out SharePoint, and they used to do it the other way with folders, this SharePoint thing sucks. Right? Every time. You need to get them as quick as possible past the this sucks. Support, training, guidance. One way I do it is a site collection creation. They get past this sucks quickly because you go in and have a conversation with them. You explain the benefit, you demo it, you show something. You do an engagement workshop with them. So suddenly they're solving business problems, and it's not we've just been told we have to use SharePoint now because they've turned the file shares off. Right? So get people past the it sucks threshold, but also keep developing towards the point that they get kick-ass. I talk about in other sessions, not this conference, but I talk about gamification, about having a mission, people achieving objectives, people getting somewhere. You're trying to get them from, I've never used it before, this sucks, into actually, it's quite good, into I'm a passionate user of SharePoint and I can really see the benefit, into I'm actually now going to become a champion myself because I really, this is great, right? One of the good ways of doing it is tell them that if you get to use this SharePoint thing, there are plenty of jobs out there, right? You could maybe increase your salary. It's a good incentive. This is the one thing I think Microsoft did well. Okay, the iusharepoint.com, there's some videos on there, there's some templates you can put, but what I'm saying on this slide is effectively make people feel part of the community. Make them identify themselves with a badge or a label. Right? Give them mugs that say, I love SharePoint. So whenever they are at the coffee machine, they've got an I love SharePoint mug, therefore I can ask you a question about SharePoint because you're a champion. You've identified yourself. You've got a badge on or a sticker or a hat, whatever it might be. Lanyards with I love SharePoint for your security thing. Yeah, just identifies you and makes you part of that community. iusharepoint.com is a Microsoft thing that's really good. That's really useful. There's some great templates you can download from there. So we talked about ways of working, and I'm just going to look at the time. 16 minutes, yeah, we're good. This comes from, well, I won't say. So this is a manifesto that I wrote for a SharePoint Center of Excellence. I had my fingers crossed then. I didn't really write this, okay. Individuals and interactions over process and tools. Working software over comprehensive docs. Customer collaboration over contract negotiation, responding to change over following a plan. While we value the stuff on the right, the items on the left we prefer more. Does anybody recognize that? Yeah, the Agile Manifesto. Right? I've stolen it, but actually what it is, so they, years ago they got around and they did this thing because they said the way we write software doesn't work. This waterfall, this the way we work, we need to do it better. There's got to be a better way of working. And we're not trying to steal it. What we're saying is they've gone through lots of iterations and it's developed as a community and a way of working, the whole agile, customer collaboration ways of working. As a center of excellence, we need to adopt and build on their success. So the way we work shouldn't be contract negotiation. I shouldn't be negotiating whether I've got to book my hours to your project. I should just be able to help you. So that negotiation over what I do, we should just try and be more agile. So learn from the agile community. I'm not suggesting that we follow this, but I definitely like collaboration. Treat your customers from a COE point of view. I want to talk to you. Whether it be social networking, Yammer, whether it be discussion forums, whether it be, you know, via the noteboard, whether it be via email or drop-in sessions or champions events, I do want interaction with individuals. I want to talk to people. We want to get people to work together, and we do want to respond to change. It's emergent, right? So this is not a best practice. It depends. So we're back to that emergent design. Things will change. Your use of SharePoint will improve. You will have done some stuff, and you'll want to do more. So therefore, we want to respond to change, do things differently, yeah, promote, blah, right? Respond to change. We need to support you. We need to stay ahead of the game on that. Anybody here use Kanban board before? So there's a few that are sort of agile dev type people that go past Scrum. You get into doing Scrum first because you want to do agile, and then you realize that Scrum sort of doesn't cut, so you move on and you do Scrum Butt, and then you move on and then you do Kanban, right? That was my experience. I don't say Scrum is wrong. Scrum's a great way of developing software, and it works, but people often find that they move beyond it. The constraints and the cadence in Scrum become difficult, so you tend to walk towards flow and towards Kanban. This is, again, not new. This is Toyota, right? This is the Toyota manufacturing system. Now, we're not manufacturing things, but the concepts and ideas are the same. So there's lots of books out there. You can read on how this evolved, where it came from, if you want to. There's great books at the moment on Kanban and using it in organizations. But what I'm looking for, specifically, the reason this works from a SharePoint Center of Excellence perspective is the type of work I do in the team differs greatly. There is huge variety. From a simple support you to do something, I do an engagement workshop which may take 3 hours, I might go and spend 3 days with you, right? So the type of work I do varies differently. What I'm actually looking to do is say, how quickly can I get stuff from here to here? Knowing that there's variability, not worrying about estimating, not spending my time saying, oh, this is a big one, I can't do that. I'm just trying to cut down the amount of time it comes in. You request something from the Center of Excellence, how quickly can I get those requests through and processed to done? Kanban works really well from a flow perspective. You can design your board appropriately. This is a very simple one. Backlog of things that we require. The ready queue. You'll notice that we've got WIP limits in there. How many people here struggle with context switching? Nobody else. Only a few. Wow. The amount of time I waste with context switching, right? I'm doing something, and then the phone goes, and you've got to drop it and do something else, and then you can do something else, and an email comes in, you respond to the email, and then you're back. Every time you drop and change, it's 15 minutes at least to get back into where you were before. Kanban is trying to get you to finish stuff. The reason you put WIP limits in there is to say, we can only be working on a certain number of things at any one moment in time because we want to finish it. Otherwise, we end up with lots of work in process, lots of context switching, and we never complete stuff. So use Kanban to help you finish work, get stuff done, move it through the board as quickly as you can. And then you'll see to the right there, the other one is, that's with all our board, with all our stuff done, right? This, if you want to read it, there's lots of great things you can do with Kanban, fixed date. You can do silver bullet. If this really is important, you can move that through, and that's the priority thing that goes through the board. Lots of ways you can use your board. You can put people's names on here, stickers. You can develop your board and evolve it as you need to. There's a book you should read called Personal Kanban. It's actually not about me, Personal Kanban, it's about a small team. So if you want to get an intro to it, Amazon, there's a book called Personal Kanban is the one I'd recommend reading. The other one you'll see there is we do some infographics that we just stick on the board. The other thing you'll notice is I'm not doing this in SharePoint. Oh, heresy. SharePoint Center of Excellence, not using SharePoint to manage their task, outrageous. Doesn't work, right? I want a big board so when you come in the room and the exec sees it, you can see exactly what we're working on. If you can get away with sticking stuff on a post-it note on a board, do that, right? You can get your metrics very easy, count the numbers at the end of the day, cumulative flow diagram, very easy to use. If you're distributed as a team, you have challenges in order to work collaboratively, right? And then you may have to use electronic tools to support the way of working, right? So if you're distributed as a COE, you may need that support. Some people really don't like this because they think a post-it note might fall off. The cleaner might sweep it up, we might forget it, right? What's the end of the world? They just ask you to do it again, right? It's not the end of the world. I prefer whiteboards. You can see from my gaming, right? I like play school stuff, right? I like things to look nice. So really come to the end. So this is the last bit. What I think is this is a great conversation. Has anybody heard the word Tumblr before? Right? So I came across this word from a, it's actually a Yiddish word, and I think it fundamentally describes what a SharePoint Center of Excellence is, or a champion for that regard. A tumbler is a guy that goes to the part of the bar mitzvah, and he's the guy who has to get people dancing. Right? He's the guy that gets people on the floor dancing, having a good time. The key thing is that he's not allowed to leave the party until it's rocking, right? Everyone has to be dancing, and he has to stay there until the party's changed from being boring, people sat down, to people enjoying themselves. So fundamentally, with your SharePoint change, if you do not stay the course, you're not the tumbler, that you're there until people have changed the way they work, and they're now doing it, and it becomes the norm, you fail. One guy that gave me a great example of this, and I'll click through my slides, I like drawing as well, so I'm into doodling, so this is my attempt at changing the way people work. Okay, so the one guy said he did the same. He works completely different field, but the concepts are the same. He works in workplace design. He designs really slick office environments, and he works for a massive global mining company. And I got the blog from him, but basically he said they go in and spend lots of money, you know, plush offices, coffee shop, change area, hot desks. Fundamentally, they want to shift the way people work. They want to change the way they work, so it's much more open. People collaborate, talk. They go in, there's a breakout area, there's whiteboards, there's areas for them to sit on beanbags and grass and all that stuff. Right? They spend lots of money on designing it. And while they're there, people are sat in the breakout area. They're drinking coffee, they're sat in the breakout area, people are drawing on the glass, they're in hot desk, they're at a different desk every day. He said, but you're there for the first week and then you go away. And you come back to the office 1 week later and you see the first plant pot. Somebody has adopted one of the hot desks as their own, all right? The people go to the coffee shop and get the coffee and come and sit back down and put the headphones on. Because fundamentally, you haven't changed. They're still in old way of working. You've given them a new environment. You've given them SharePoint, but you've not changed the way they work. So to be the tumbler, you need to be in there continually helping people until they get through the trough of despair and out the other side and in a happy place and changing the way they work and doing it differently. And that's why you need a champions community, because as a COE, it's very difficult to be there all the time. I think the one quote that John gave me, and I'd like to use it, but he said, you're never more than 1 meter from a rat, I think is a saying. He said, it should be the same with SharePoint champions. You should never be more than a couple of meters from a champion. There should be enough champions out there that you can say, oh, you work in that department. Well, Dave, just on the other one, he's your SharePoint champion. He'll come and help you. That's the guy I'll come and say. You can go and ask Dave. He's happy to do it. So you need to be there until you've engendered change. You need to get the tumblers. So I call myself a tumbler. I want to stay there until the changes happen. Sometimes it's not possible. Sometimes, you know, contracts end, whatever it might be. But the objective is to change the way people work. So who are these people? Most of them probably already work for you. From a champion's perspective, it's the SharePoint guy, that dude that does SharePoint, right? You'll bring champions in from, you'll build community based on these people that already work for you. So they will come in. I would encourage them to come in and be aspirational to work for the COE, because it's great, because the stuff you were doing on the side of your day job, you can now do full time. I can do this innovation, it's fun, right? I can do this innovation game stuff. I can put post-it notes up and draw pictures, and I can run events, and I can go to Vegas, and it's fundamental. What I do say here as well is, from a COE perspective, is you need to bake in time for them to learn. How much stuff is going on today, or this conference? How much information is there to understand from a SharePoint products perspective? If you don't allow your COE members time to learn, read blog posts, watch videos, it's not slacking. In the community, going to SharePoint Saturday, going to user groups. If you don't allow them the time to do the learning, how can they bring that enthusiasm and value back into your organization? So you want to give them the time to go to Vegas so they come back pumped going, we're gonna do all this stuff, right? They need to be the ones that are in there really selling it and promoting it. So my call to action, I started the session, and then I can do questions. We've got a few minutes for questions as well. Really is based, my whole objective was to talk about what a COE was. My call to action is to go back to your organization and decide whether you think it's something you need to be thinking about doing. Okay, that's my take. Do I need to build a center of excellence? I am blogging some of this stuff. The deck will be available. I started writing some blogs, so my blog, 21apps.com, you will find stuff on this. I talk about it a lot. I'm going to talk more about this. But I'm trying to encourage an emergent practice, so changing the way people work. There's also one slide, I think Rob Foster's doing a session on, I think his title was pretty rubbish, really. I didn't tell him that, but that's fine. he's talking about some of the stuff that the COE will do in more detail. So if you want to know some of the roles they do, like how you manage the managed metadata, how do you do information architecture, some of the navigation, how do you handle search, some of the technical stuff that they'll do, Rob will be doing that in the next session in Iron Ballroom. So that's worth going to if you want to go to that session. I didn't put a question. You need to fill that in. But I can take questions now. So if anybody got a question, if you want to come to the mic, it's probably easier. Or put your hand up and I'll repeat it. But does anybody have any questions? We've got about 10 minutes. Guy here. So the question there was, we talked about how the Center of Excellence work with end users, but how does the Center of Excellence work with the technical guys back here? Well, there's two ways. One is you've got a technical authority in your team. So the guy in the team understand implicitly how SharePoint works. They can have grown-up conversations with your suppliers or your IT. They can talk about IOPS and databases if they really need to, and they can talk in that level. So what you'll find then is that the tech support people, the IT pro people, love it because they don't have to talk to the business and there be a communication thing. They're talking to somebody who just gets SharePoint, that understands the challenges and understands what they want. So that conversation works both ways, but it's why you need that tech skill in the team to be able to build that trust. So they, and then they trust you to make decisions on their behalf. So you get delegated an element of trust on their behalf because they've told you what you can do, what the scope is and what the bounds are, and then they trust you. So that works really well. So a guy here, agree. Okay, so the challenge was you work for a very large organization, would you have many COEs or anyone? So is that a globally distributed organization? Worldwide. So my take is, actually what you need, and it's like Scrum, you did Scrum of Scrums. You effectively need, I think you need an element of a core center of excellence at work that sets some policy and guidance, but they will work in local pockets. But they need their own community. The challenge you've got with that big organization is, how do you get that shared understanding within your team? Because once you split, how do I know what the decisions are being made? So if you can get it together then that, and work as one core team, that's best because you get that implicit interaction. If you have to grow and split, big organization, and you've got many COEs, then you need to put the structure in place to allow them to form their own community, right? So they can have the conversation and the dialogue and you need to give them time to do that. What you may find is have the one center of excellence, but have champions that can do engagement workshops. And then you support the community in that way. So rather than having multiple center of excellences. If you're running one farm, you may only need one, for example. Yeah. Guy here. Yeah. So the question was, where was the excellence in collaboration? It was actually on the logo. Bad, right? So marketing did it for us. But anyway, it was on the logo. It said SharePoint Center of Excellence, excellence in collaboration. Complete platitude, unmeasurable. So that's why we've got a vision as well, right? So that's where it came out. That was bad, bad, bad. So well, I'll give you the book anyway. That's fine. guy here on the left.
Should it be the COE's responsibilities to enforce governance on the SharePoint sites?
So should it be the COE's responsibility to enforce governance? Yes. Practical application of governance is the responsibility of the COE. You won't set policy. You may have a governance board. Right, that will be influenced by the information architects and security and IT, et cetera, which you will be represented on as a COE, but you're doing the practical application of with the authority of the board. Okay? But ultimately, they have no idea what SharePoint is. They're setting policy around security and information and goal. You're giving them that knowledge and that experience to make sure they make the right decisions. But you don't write a Word document down. You enforce it. You have the conversations, and you do it in a much more collaborative way. Yeah. And then the lady behind just there. Have I worked with a company that have implemented the SharePoint COE end-to-end? Yes.
Like I've described
today. This is based on experience. Okay. Can I share them? Probably, yeah, I can. So the actual work I'm doing is for the equivalent of the IRS. So a big government department. So you think of where they are culturally, and we're starting to work. So you think of where they are from an organization point of view, culturally, file shares. The actual bar we've got is very low, but we're running this. We were actually called the hippie commune at one point because we didn't fit into their standard corporate structure. We just sort of got on and did stuff, and it didn't really work. So we've done it in that sort of regulated environment, yes. And it does work, and there are lessons to learn. Some of the stuff I've got there reflects some of those lessons learned. Some of it's more emergent. So as I go into more organizations and do more conversations, I expect to develop the concepts and ideas more, and as a community, as more people do it, I want to share that and build that way of working. So it's an emergent practice. So yeah. So, lady down here. And then we'll...
So one of the things that you said that it was very enlightening and surprising to me, that the Center of Excellence does not have to actually do the work of like the coding part. And actually in our organization, one of the reasons that we decided to go with the Center of Excellence is because everybody was doing development in their own way, yep. Everywhere, hiring people, different companies. So, and I actually like that, what you just said, don't do the coding, because I don't have the team to do yep. all the coding. I'm getting requests like every yep. day, you know, multiple. So what would be the recommendation if we don't do that? We still need to be the ones providing the advice of what to do and maybe who to work with. Do we need to have like a list of vendors to work? Is that what would be yes. your suggestion?
Yeah, so exactly. So how do we work with these development teams? Whereas before it was done a bit ad hoc. People would go their own way and get their own development done. They'd get their own thing. The idea of being the single point of contact is that we do have trusted partners. We do have internal development teams that understand what we do. But you come to us, we will help you understand what your solution should look like. We will get it built. We will be the consultant on your behalf on that. So we will make sure it fits in with corporate policy. So as a COE, you do have a conduit through to delivery teams that write the code. But they focus on project functionality. They like working with the Center of Excellence, especially if it's an external partner, because you talk the same language. You're not business user going, oh, it's sort of a bit woolly and I don't know what I want. You're there going, in SharePoint, we want this, this, and this, and these functions aren't enabled, and you can't deploy a farm solution and blah, blah. So you talk their language from a development perspective and deliver the solution, but the solution gets handed over through the Center of Excellence. Because ultimately, you've got to have one awareness of all the solutions that are on the estate, so you understand everything that's going on, but also you get to support the users in that application as well. So you're the first point of contact. You may proxy that back off to the supplier, but you should understand there should be a handover to you as well and present it to the customer.
So you...
So you may, I wouldn't, no, don't manage the team, right? You need to, effectively, you get them to develop. They have a project manager. They run, you're a consultant on that team. So you're there, you're the guy they ask about SharePoint, what can we do in your environment? So you act as a consultant to the team, but you don't manage the team. They should be managed development, you know, lifecycle, releases, et cetera, should be managed independently of you. Yeah. So there's a guy there just at the speaker, and then I'll come back.
So this all makes sense to me in terms of large organizations and large teams. What's your advice along the lines of Center of Excellence for mid-sized organizations, small teams trying to push SharePoint solutions and SharePoint adoption so that we can grow that within a company and be able to bring to the value of a larger team and a larger effort of utilization?
So the question really around what, how does it work? You can see it in a big org. How does it work in a small org? So how many people are you talking? 200, 500 people?
300 to 400.
300 to 400 people. Do the same. It's just some people will do more than one role. So your tech lead will also be one of your subject matter experts and partly a change agent. So you do the same. Same policy, same approach, same technique, single point of contact. I know everything. You'll just have less people and you'll be multi-role.
And in that situation, which role do you think best fits that center point of contact?
So which role best fits it? You need the tech knowledge, right? So you've got to have that in the team, the understanding of the technology from a role perspective. So you need that in there. And then they can learn how to do the innovation games bit. That's an achievable, a learnable objective. They need to be fairly personable. It's no good getting a dev geek that just sits in the corner that doesn't talk to people. They need to collaborate and be out there. But make sure you've got the tech bit understood, but that they're comfortable doing the basic stuff. If they're doing multiple roles, make sure they don't get bored just doing list library development, right? So make sure they're supported, either with a grad, bring a junior grad in or something, you know, high achiever, to do some of that basic stuff supported by that person. So, Guy, just did you? So the question there was for the people, it was, you're working in a big organization, very political, and there's lots of requests for SharePoint. You see the value. Who is the exec? Who would you go to get the exec on board? Whoever you possibly can, right? Just one. It's hard enough to get one, right? If you can just get the finance guy on board, as long as he can justify your case at the top level. CTOs tend to work well because they understand the technology, but it may be you've got somebody that looks after sort of finance because you can see the value in from a financial monetary perspective. So there's no right or wrong answer. It's just whoever you can. The challenge you'll have from going up through your management structure is they really won't want you talking above them. They need you to report through them. You need to subdiffuse skunkworks. You need to go and at a party or company meeting or send them an email directly. Just go and talk to them, right? They will be using SharePoint. Just go and use the excuse to go and sit down with the exec and show them how to use SharePoint and have that conversation and say, we could do this so much better if we did. Right? So you're going to have to bid and subdiffuse. You'll upset people, but it ultimately it works. I'm sorry, lady there, just at the microphone, and then I'll come through.
Thank you. So we have the diverse team. The problem is we only have one of each of us, and we have 10,000 employees.
So okay. Sorry, I didn't quite get that. Say that again.
So the slide that you showed about the diverse team,
yep.
We fit that. It's just there's only three of us, but we have a large organization.
A large organization, but is there only one person in the team? Or?
So there's like one tech person, one's me, one change agent,
yeah.
I would say.
So that, I mean, but those three people give you some diversity. What you don't want is three IT pro people or three change agents. So they will, those three people in themselves give you some diversity because their view of the world will be different. So the tech guy will have a technical bias. The change agent will understand the change bit. So those three people with those three roles will give you some of that diversity. But if you bring anyone else in, maybe bring a grad in to support that as a cheaper resource, can do some of the basic stuff, but they will give you another opinion, another view. They will challenge the organization if they're new to your business as well.
So how many people on the team for a large organization?
Yeah, so it depends. So how many people on a team for a large organization? Absolutely, it depends. As many as you can get, right? And you have to justify it based on success, mm-hmm. right? So if you've got a small team, what you need to make sure you do is prioritize the work because you will get lots of requests. There were lots of, we want to do an engagement work. Make sure you make a decision and go, these people look like they're going to follow it through to the end and give me a case study. Once you've built enough case studies, it's easy to go and justify more resource because you're making change. You're demonstrating value. So at that point, you can start justifying more. You're never going to cover everyone. It will be a case of start small and grow and evolve, demonstrate success, and build from there.
Okay. Thank you.
Guy here. So the question was, do code reviews form part of the Center of Excellence? If it was me doing it, yes, absolutely, I would do it because I'm a geek coder, right? So I understand it. You may just set some governance standards, right? There might be some standards that you set for your suppliers that they must meet certain criteria. If you don't have a dev on your team, it's almost impossible for you to do a code review. But you may have a trusted person that you can use to do those reviews for you. So it depends on who's your team, whether you can do those reviews or not. But you will definitely set policy about what they can and can't do. The environment, the deployment must go through you. You'll understand how to do deployment, and you'll own that and pull that through. Shimon.
Hey, Woody. So, very political organization. I get it. I think SharePoint Center of Excellence is probably just an extension of a SharePoint team. So that's what I've called it. It's
yep.
diversity and all that. I get that. How do you sell the concept of COE to the IT group that doesn't get it? So that's where I think you have the workshops on the shared understanding and get everyone on the same page, yep. getting IT on the same page as a start. That's our problem right now. So we have SharePoint farms, and this guy owns that farm, and we own that farm. And you know, I'm hearing you, and I get it, I agree, but how do I sell that message, and how do I push it up? So Denise made a good point. So you have the workshops to get to the shared understanding. Sometimes selling those workshops even
Yeah.
is a challenge. So have you come across that situation, and what do you suggest to overcome that?
You do. And the question was, how do you sell this to IT? How do you sell the concept of what we're doing here? How do you promote? I assume, is that right? So you've got IT that own it, and they don't really get you. You don't have to tell them it's a workshop. Right? You don't always have to say we're going to play a game. Right? You might just say we're going to have a meeting about SharePoint, right? And then do the workshop when they get there. Sometimes it's easier not to sell the concept of collaborative play. just wait till they get there. They'll get engaged. They will do it, right, ultimately. The concept from the IT pro point of view is you're going to offer them a huge benefit, right? How do you sell this to IT? Because you're going to say to them, you know the policies and the processes you put in place around your content databases and the way we do indexing and the way we deploy solutions and everything else, the things that make your life a pain that you want to apply, we're going to make sure the business do that on your behalf. We're going to be the eyes and ears for you, and we're going to support that, and we're going to have grown-up conversations with you at the right level so your guys can concentrate on disk and IOPS and backups and restores, and we can talk at that level, and we'll do the conversations, and we'll promote your way of working and the governance that you've got here out to the business. So you're giving them something. They no longer have to go over here and talk about things that people don't understand, right? So you're giving them value. So they should just, they implicitly get it. They love you, right? Because, wow, you're taking that off my hands. Great. Sorry, what was that? That was said again. Should. Yeah, ego's getting away. But there are techniques. So I talked about dialogue mapping there. There are definitely ways, collaborative play, of getting over egos. There are techniques you can use to get over egos in meetings and get to a decision. So we can do that on another session. But I think it's time out now. I think I've got to end at that point. But thank you for coming. Enjoy the rest of the conference. And we'll see you again.